New Year's Eve may have set a record for the most weddings on a single day in Las Vegas. Yeah, experts have been predicting that the date's repeating pattern, shout out to Sia and her hit Chandelier, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, in the NYE date, 12/31/23, would produce the biggest spike in weddings the city has ever seen. In case you're wondering, the existing record holder, 777, with 4,492 couples tying the knot in Sin City on that day. No surprise, really. 777, Las Vegas. Yeah, I see what they did there. These specialty dates are always big business for Vegas's wedding tourism industry, which, believe it or not, currently accounts for $2.5 billion of the city's $80 billion in tourist revenue. Now, they say whatever happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, and that includes myriad nuptials. Yeah, a lot of I do's turn into I don'ts while nursing a hangover. Hey, Vegas is also home to some legendary buffets, and while I'm no expert when it comes to getting hitched, I understand that marriage is a long meal with dessert at the beginning. Hey, it is the second day of 2024. Hands up if you have already broken your New Year's resolutions. Yeah, I thought so. And hey, I apologize if I just made you break yet another resolution that was not to raise your hand in 2024. Raising hands is a staple in the classroom when it comes to asking and answering questions. One of the ways teachers maintain law and order. Sorry, I know too many teachers to know that that's not true. By the way, special shout out to Titan of Teachers, Pusha P. And by the way, raising hands was a staple in the classroom when I was a student way back in the olden days. Shout out to W.J. Mowat, class of 87. A lot of shout outs on the Morlog. It's where I started my career. I have fond memories of the home of the Hawks. And yeah, I was gobsmacked when during my younger brother Romulo's grad ceremony, they announced that I was the first former student to be made an honorary Hawk for my contributions as a volunteer to the school. I even got a school jacket that still hangs in my childhood bedroom. In fact, I'm looking at it right now because this is where this week's Morlogs are being recorded. Following graduation, I continue to be the announcer for the Hawks sports teams. I DJed school dances, but what meant most to me was spending time helping out with an afternoon special education class where people like my friend Jenny, who was born with Down syndrome, inspired me and taught me valuable life lessons. I could still see the smile on Jenny's face when she walked across the stage to receive her diploma. Now, speaking of schools, and I mentioned Pusha P, she is a pal of the podcast, a new mama to Lil P, and here's a story from the Good News letter that will hit close to home for her. In America, teachers spend an average of about $600 to $700 a year on classroom supplies with their own money, according to EdWeek. Now, if you think that number is staggering, and yeah, I do, in total, American teachers spend $1.6 billion on materials that their schools do not budget for each year. Mamma mia! Now, while of course teachers should be provided with the necessary materials and salaries they need by their school administration or state governments, one organization in Arizona is working to solve for X in the meantime. Treasures for Teachers is a Tempe, Arizona-based nonprofit that offers its members access to a 12,000-square-foot creative reuse warehouse full of new and used low-cost supplies. While many of the supplies are at a low cost, there is also a free and fill-a-bag section for teachers to explore. Whether educators are looking for pens and pencils, art supplies, binders and notebooks, or even t-shirts from local schools, they can be accessed at a fraction of the cost of standard retailers. Now, memberships for teachers cost $35 a year, which is a much lower cost than that average $500 out-of-pocket cost for school supplies. This includes access to the warehouse, free and low-cost professional development opportunities and resources, and hey, even gifts from corporate donors. T4T serve traditional teachers, homeschools, tutors, scout leaders, or anyone else who actively works with students. In addition, the organization has a T4T on Wheels program that delivers supplies to teachers in the area. According to AZ Central, T4T provides supplies to 4,500 teachers, reaching over 135,000 students. Let's get a T4T going in every city. What do you say, America? Well, according to a new poll, 46% of Americans said they didn't read a book in 2023. Now, overall, 26% of respondents reported reading between 1 and 5 tomes, 10% somewhere between 6 and 10 books, 8% between 11 and 20 books, and 11% of those who took this poll say they read 20 or more books, but the most active readers, well, they're reading a lot. 6% of respondents said they read over 40 books. That's incredible. But I bet my fair lady floor to carpet sales is in that category. The most broadly popular genre among fiction readers was mystery and crime, which 37% of respondents said they'd read. And the most popular nonfiction genre was history, read by 36% of respondents. Well, from bookworms to earworms? Yeah, an earworm is a catchy song that gets stuck in your head. Well, last year, emergency department doctors say patients had other things stuck in their head. They pulled out of patients' ears part of a crayon. Wonder when Crayola will debut earwax yellow. A wooden match. Hey, that's no way to start a fever. And one patient showed up in emergency with popcorn kernels in both ears. Ears of corn, anyone? By the way, your ears do not deceive you. That is the one and only Snoop Dogg that you hear at the end of every monologue. I recorded that clip back in November 2020 when he and I were broadcast and Puff Puff Pass partners at the Mike Tyson versus Roy Jones exhibition match in Los Angeles. Now, in fact, the Dogfather said he liked my voice so much he wanted to get it on a track. Remember I said that was in 2020? It's now 2024. Still waiting for the call. But hey, I get it. Snoop Dogg is busy taking over, well, everything. He just teamed with Hill Beverage Company to create Do It Fluid. It's a hemp-infused drink line with CBD and THC blends. Now, I may or may not be under the influence of THC when I... Who am I trying to kid? I'm always under the influence of THC. But yeah, I do enjoy grabbing a spoon, popping open a jar of Nutella, and going to town. Now, Nutella was invented just after World War II ended because chocolate was much too expensive. The availability of chocolate was low around this time because most of the world's armies issued rations of chocolate to their soldiers. The lack of supply led many to try creative new approaches. In 1946, Pietro Ferrero created a spread made of tiny amounts of chocolate and plenty of inexpensive hazelnuts. Now, although it wasn't a new idea, his formula was, making it much more affordable for regular folk. Ferrero's son created the final Nutella product and perfected the formula in 1964. Well, Nutellaholics, like yours truly, may want to listen extra carefully to this next story. A new study is investigating the potential for vibrating diet pills, which have been found to considerably cut food intake in experiments conducted on pigs. The thought goes that vibrations will stimulate nerve endings in the stomach wall that indicate fullness to the brain, and these vibrations might be delivered by means of a 31 by 10 millimeter pill that shakes for 38 minutes upon arrival in the stomach. Now, when inserted into young pigs that were around the size of a human, they found that their vibration-induced hormonal changes were the same as those after consuming a meal, and that animals ate 40% less than the control group. Hey, Beach Boys, get ready to make a mint licensing the song Good Vibrations for whenever they make a TV spot for vibration diet pills. Wow. What will they think of next? Hey, Timothée Chalamet. Yeah, that's his name. Timothée Chalamet. I looked it up, although I did hear so many different versions. But I heard him say, the actual actor himself, say that in French, his name is pronounced Timothée Chalamet. Well, he's bringing good vibrations and his singing voice to the big screen in what was the biggest movie of the holidays. Yes, it is a musical, Wonka. It scored the golden ticket, grossing $140 million domestically and $400 million big ones globally. That's pretty good for a $125 million budget. A Morlog shout out to my buddy Holt McCallany. I told you there were a lot of shout outs on this podcast. Holt is an amazing actor, terrific human being. You can currently see him on the big screen. And yeah, go to the theater. Support the cause. He's playing Fritz Von Erich, the patriarch of the Texas-based pro wrestling family, beset by tragedy in the Iron Claw. In 2016, when I worked my one and only WrestleMania event for WWE, I sat next to the only remaining member of the family, Kevin, on the bus from the hotel to the stadium in Dallas, a city in which he and his family were bona fide rock stars during the height of their popularity in the 80s. Kevin is portrayed by Zac Efron, an extra buff Zac Efron, in the film The Iron Claw. By the way, Kevin's dad, Fritz, was trained by one of my personal heroes, Stu Hart, the legendary promoter of Stampede Wrestling, who back in 2000, when I was the announcer for the relaunched promotion, man, I've done a lot in my life, haven't I? It sometimes strikes me, even doing this podcast, I'm like, holy crap. But anyway, yeah, I was the announcer for Stampede Wrestling in Calgary back in 2000, and Stu Hart stretched me in the infamous dungeon. Be careful what you ask for, kids. He ended up bursting all the blood vessels around my eyes due to the torturous pressure he applied on my neck. Did I mention he was 88 years old at the time? And finally, in the least surprising news of 2023, on the final day of the year, Taylor Swift added one more accolade to her long list of accomplishments in the previous annum. She now holds the record for most weeks for a solo artist at number one on the Billboard 200 album chart. 1989, Taylor's version topped the ranking last week, giving Swift 68 weeks atop the album chart and surpassing the king himself, Elvis Presley. Only the Beatles have more weeks at number one now than Swift, with 132 weeks on top across 19 number one albums from 1964 to 2001. Today's more ovation comes from Albert Camus. The only way to deal with an unfree world is to become so absolutely free that your very existence is an act of rebellion. In honor of Taylor Swift's latest accomplishment, I'm going to leave you with the keyboard warrior version of Shake It Off from her number one album, 1989, Taylor's version. Thanks for listening to the Morlog. Now go and hold the door open for someone and keep fighting the good fight.
Mamma mia, marijuana is the shit.